Bitcoin jumps 5% as China makes a very big announcement on the bond market. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. In today's global macro update, we are going to discuss Bitcoin's jump today. We will discuss the very important news out of China and relate it back to liquidity and how we think about financial markets. And we will also conclude with some thoughts on Robert Lighthizer, the U.S. trade representative that might be back in the mix with a potential Trump return to the White House. Let's start with the news out of China and why we saw Bitcoin rally 5% today. Bitcoin back up at around 66,000 after dipping below 60 last week. So the headline here is that China may raise an additional 6 trillion won from treasury bonds over 3 years as part of its efforts to support the slowing economy through fiscal stimulus. And this headline that we got out of China is something that we need to relate immediately to how we classify liquidity. So you guys know that liquidity is a very popular word thrown around a lot. People have their different liquidity models, metrics, ways to measure it. At the Bitcoin layer, we have a very specific way that we measure liquidity. And one of the large influences of that metric is the asset side of banks, including central banks and commercial banks. Now, why does a fiscal stimulus from China trigger an increase in the expected liquidity looking forward? It's because when governments issue government bonds, it is almost the same thing as printing money. In fact, I would make the argument that government stimulus through borrowing, through deficits, through treasury bill and treasury bond issuance are more powerful than quantitative easing in which the central bank buys bonds. The reason this is more, I believe, more impactful when the government itself is doing the borrowing is because the new asset on the balance sheet of the bank at which this bill or bond ends up is a direct expansion of the financial system. And that is what it comes down to here. How does this work in practicality? I'm going to tell you how it works in a US example so that you understand why a government issuing a new bond is basically like printing money. When the government issues a treasury bill, let's say the United States government wants to award a large contract to a defense contractor. So the government has agreed to purchase $1 billion of weapons from a US manufacturer, and that $1 billion purchase is going to come from, it's basically going to come from the deficit. So that is not tax revenue that is available for the government to spend. The government doesn't have that $1 billion to start with. So they issue a bond or a bill. Then the government is able to raise the $1 billion and send it to the contractor for the munitions. Now, when the government issues the bond and pays the contractor, where does that money come from? And the reality is, it comes out of thin air. So let's talk about how the global balance sheet of the financial system expands. The government here is going to issue a $1 billion bond. It's going to take those proceeds and give it to the contractor. So the contractor ends up with a $1 billion deposit. The $1 billion deposit is an asset of the contractor, but a liability of the bank at which the contractor banks. And then that bank is absorbing that new treasury security as the asset. So the bank is essentially the purchaser, and it is paying from brand new money that it issued to the government contractor. And so in a circular way, government issuance of debt, when it spends the money right away or simultaneously, is a literal expansion of the financial system. And so in that way, new deficit issuance from governments is money printing. Now, the headline we got, back to the headline, China may add 6 trillion won in treasuries. So that's about $1 trillion worth of government bonds coming onto the market over the next couple years to basically just support the Chinese government's ability to pay for things. The Bitcoin Layer is sponsored by Unchained, the undisputed leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with collaborative multi-sig vaults in which you own 2 of 3 keys and you gain a Bitcoin security partner. You can purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage via Unchained's trading desk and eliminate all exchange risks. Unchained also offers the best IRA in the industry, where you can convert your existing 401ks or retirement accounts to Unchained, all while keeping control of your Bitcoin private keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Talk to Unchained today. Go to unchained.com/TBL for $100 off when you sign up. Don't risk your Bitcoin security. Do you have Bitcoin private keys stored on paper? Make sure you convert those keys to titanium with Stampseed. Stampseed has this really cool DIY kit that allows you to hammer in your seed phrase into these small titanium plates that are fire resistant and damage resistant. This kit is designed by titanium metal workers that have been working in stamping metal for over 14 years, and your words are deeply stamped, not just a shallow dot. So make sure you check out stampseed.com today and use code TBL for 15% off of your order. Now, why did Bitcoin rally? Because Bitcoin understands that the expansion of the financial system and the printing of money has to have an outlet. And oftentimes that outlet is financial markets. This is why we relate TBL liquidity to financial markets so closely, and why a 50%+ correlation of our metric and the S&P 500 leads us to believe that we have identified some of the main sources that move markets, including stocks and including Bitcoin. Those are the size of the global banking system's balance sheet, bond interest rates, and their volatility. Now, on a one-to-one basis, this move from China is going to increase the size of the global financial system, thus increasing TBL liquidity, our metric. If you guys are interested in learning more, check out thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe for our free weekly research publication. We also have the opportunity for you guys to become TBL Pro, a ton of benefits in there, including our weekly risk report and all the details and breakdown of TBL liquidity and how it's moving. Now, looking a little bit closely at the technical analysis here on Bitcoin, we're watching this area right around 66,000. I have it struck here at about 66,500. That is the local high from Friday, September 27th. If we can close above 66,500 at some point this week, it is going to set up a test back to the top of our wedge here, and that will set up a test to see if Bitcoin can break through and start to make that charge toward all-time highs and beyond. We don't necessarily have any strong bias as to when this wedge is going to resolve itself. It doesn't resolve itself until March of next year, so we don't necessarily think we're going to have to wait that long, but we need to respect the resistance and support lines that we have here. Bitcoin's still in the middle of a consolidation, but looking increasingly stronger. One of those reasons that we believe Bitcoin is looking a little bit stronger here is a little bit of a regime shift in prices. This is something we've discussed over the last 3 or 4 days, as we've noticed. Stocks rally on treasury selling. Why is this a regime shift? Because over the last few years, we saw rates higher on higher inflation knock down stocks, and then rates lower on less inflation support stocks. That relationship has faded pretty heavily here over the last week. We've seen stocks up and yields up. That tells me investors are selling the risk-free asset and buying risky assets. Why would they do that? I believe it's a little bit of a Trump trade going on right now. Right now, the prediction markets have Trump winning Pennsylvania, the key swing state in this election. North Carolina, Georgia seem to be firmly in Trump's hands. The remaining swing states, Nevada, Michigan, and Wisconsin, could all be swept by Harris and she still loses the election. For this reason, I believe that the markets are starting to get ahead of the Trump trade, price in a little bit of higher deficits, lower taxes, higher growth prospects, therefore higher inflation, higher interest rates, and higher stocks. That translates into positives for Bitcoin when it comes to the stock market, but, and this is a big however, if we get larger deficits, that is going to probably at the margin raise interest rates and threaten bond volatility. On the other side of higher bond volatility, which would be TBL liquidity negative, we have the fact that a Trump administration would likely come with sustained large deficits, especially if tax cuts are being able to be pushed through. And so then you have another positive force on TBL liquidity. So again, there's going to be various factors because we have different things in the model. The size of the banking system, interest rates themselves, bond volatility. The Fed is going to influence, of course, bond volatility. It's going to influence interest rates in part. The government is going to influence deficits, which is the size of the banking system. The Fed is going to influence the size of the central bank's balance sheet. So the government and the Fed are moving each one of these inputs independently. I shouldn't say independently. The Fed and the government are both moving rates, rates fall, and the size of the banking system. And how all of those dynamics interact is going to determine the path for risk assets, including Bitcoin, over the short to medium term. So again, check out our research publication if you're interested in TBL liquidity and what we're building and why we are building a metric. We also have a great free report, absolutely free, that you guys can download. We co-presented it with Unchained. It's called Understanding What Moves Bitcoin. And our goal there is to show you how the index is built and what can bring it up and what can bring it down. So what is the influence here, right here at the margin today? We believe it's a larger banking system as a result of the Chinese stimulus that they've announced. But generally, what is volatility? It's uncertainty. And with large issuance, with more certainty on who the leadership is going to be in Washington, with more certainty on where the Fed is going to put interest rates over the next several months. All of those things should reduce uncertainty and support liquidity. Now let's stick on the Trump trade and talk about Robert Lighthizer. This is an individual that you guys must know and factor in when he speaks. I'm going to take you all the way back to 2010 here. Robert Lighthizer's testimony before the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. Now, really quickly here, the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission was created by the United States Congress in October of the year 2000, so 24 years ago, with the legislative mandate to monitor, investigate, and submit to Congress an annual report on the national security implications of the bilateral trade and economic relationship between the U.S. and China. Provide recommendations when appropriate to the legislative bodies. Now, I will let you guys read this 35-page paper on your own. I read this paper originally in the year 2016 when Trump was initially campaigning to become the president of the United States. And this paper from Lighthizer has guided me ever since 2016 and when I read it, because it shows you where the U.S. government is on an international relations basis, where one side of the camp, which clearly has the firm footing, obviously tariffs have continued from Trump to the Biden administration and are likely to continue and increase if we get a shift back to Trump. What does Robert Lighthizer say? And this is, by the way, about a decade into China joining the World Trade Organization, which is basically allowing free trade between these two nations. Free trade, I put it in air quotes, but free trade should be taken with a grain of salt here because of the methods that China used over the years. And so what does Lighthizer say? Years of passivity and drift among U.S. policymakers have allowed the U.S.-China trade deficit to grow to the point where it is widely recognized as a major threat to our economy. Going forward, USC policymakers should take these problems more seriously and take a much more aggressive approach in dealing with China. And so with that last sentence, aggressive approach in dealing with China, 6 years later, what happened? Trump was elected president and then started hitting China with the tariffs, hitting them hard. They have still been in effect for several years and have the potential to take a notch up to 60% on some goods. Now, this video today is not meant to speculate on what the tariffs will do to the relationship between US and China. But we have to think about what those tariffs are going to do at the margin to the US economy and how that might affect interest rates, inflation, growth, and deficits, which are all influences on the TBL liquidity metric that we've told you has a strong correlation with stocks, which have a strong correlation with Bitcoin. Now, here's the headline from CNBC and why we are thinking about Lighthizer again today. Feels like a blast from the past. 8 years ago, I was reading this speech on the trading desk, thinking about what it might mean for Trump to come into the White House and start dealing with China aggressively, which is a stance that wasn't part of the international relationship between these two nations until he came into office. Trump to move fast on tariffs, says Wall Street firm, citing clients who met with ex-trade chief. And again, the election is still 3 weeks away. We don't know who's going to win. We have prediction markets that are leaning one way. We are looking at the financial markets as a confirmation that the prediction markets are saying something about Trump coming back. And that's the premise that we're going with here. I have made the call that that's who I believe will win the election, but this video today is about what might happen with Lighthizer, okay? And here's the quote from the research analyst that they're quoting from Piper Sandler. We've heard from a number of clients that Trump's former U.S. Trade Representative, Robert Lighthizer, has been meeting with investor groups and telling them that Trump could announce 60% Chinese tariffs and 10% across-the-board tariffs shortly after taking office. No policy should be deemed official, though, unless it comes directly from Trump himself. The article goes on to say that a key player in crafting and enacting Trump's first-term trade policies, Lighthizer is also seen as a top prospect for a number of senior posts in the potential Trump cabinet, including Commerce Secretary and Treasury Secretary. Holy moly. We are talking about Lighthizer here potentially being the U.S. Treasury Secretary. This is a big deal, and I'm letting really hear the background that I have on Lighthizer creep in. But if Lighthizer becomes the Treasury Secretary, we are looking at the next level of a trade war. I can say that categorically. Because if Trump is saying, I want to put Lighthizer as the Treasury Secretary, that is a signal to China that we are ready to play even harder, go more aggressive. Now, there is a ton of U.S.-China international relationship that is erring on the good side of things. So we don't want to just make this as a complete conflict between the two nations. But from an economic standpoint, from a tariffs standpoint, this is a trade war. From the technology standpoint, this is a technology cold war. Huawei, with their 5G network, being basically shut out of U.S., Great Britain, for as a part of the original kickoff of this tech cold war. It has escalated over the years as we've seen more and more attacks on specific Chinese companies that are designing and manufacturing parts for U.S. products or other Western products. This relationship and supply chain, this dismantling of the supply chain around the world. And I just quickly mentioned the walkie-talkie and beeper incident that we had in the Middle East with Israel tapping into global supply chains to weaponize them. There are so many considerations from a Lighthizer entrance into the Trump cabinet, not just being USTR and the trade representative and going in front of Congress and making recommendations, but in the actual cabinet making moves. It had to be something that I flagged for you guys today. I read this article over the weekend, and I knew that Monday's video had to be about Lighthizer because I need you guys, if you are curious, to read his 2010 speech. And I'm going to put another article in here for you guys in the show notes. The man who would help Trump upend the global economy. This is a May 2024 piece from Foreign Policy. As a potential U.S. Treasury Secretary, Robert Lighthizer has more than trade policy to revolutionize. So this is something that has been on the minds of people for a long time, especially with the prospect of Trump returning to the White House. You guys need to familiarize yourself with Robert Lighthizer. And so who is Lighthizer? Let's go back. He graduated from Georgetown, bachelor, and he got his law degree as well from Georgetown. He served under Ronald Reagan in the 1980s as the U.S. Trade Representative. And so the Deputy U.S. Trade Representative. So when he joined the Trump administration in 2017 as the U.S. Trade Representative, it was full circle for Lighthizer. And if we can see Lighthizer implement these tariffs and he's in the position of Treasury Secretary, you are going to see a new set of inflationary dynamics that we haven't factored in. And by the way, I say we haven't factored them in just off of the back of a video and a couple letters over the weekend that we wrote explaining to you that the Trump trade is basically underway. So the bond market and long-term yields selling off here, the curve getting a little bit steeper, especially in 5s 30s, as the long end of the curve is now under pressure from Trump 2.0. And that comes with higher deficits and another shot fired in the trade war. So lots to consider here as we get closer to the election. Thanks for sticking with us today. Make sure to subscribe to our free research publication at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. Rate and review on your favorite audio platform, and we'll catch you guys next time.